Good evening, James McKenney with my Science Hour for July 30th, 2020, heading into the end of summer and early fall. A lot of topics to cover tonight. I'll be talking about the physics of EMPs, artificial intelligence, and some other topics. But first of all, this is so important. The United Kingdom just announced, and I don't know all of the details yet, but mandatory vaccinations for this COVID baloney. And, of course, this is getting down in the mud, where the governments are literally being taken over by this insane international, not even medical. It's, you can't call it medicine. It's not medicine. Russia, oddly enough, has approved the first vaccine, even though it has had no clinical trials. So this is worldwide. This is worldwide. And it appears that Trump is folding on this entire issue. The U.S. government has ordered 200 million. This is the initial swath of orders, 200 million from Pfizer, the drug company, of a vaccine that in no way, shape, or form could have been tested on anything. But they've already ordered 200 million injections of it or whatever. And, of course, this comes along with a chip. So, this is going to get ugly. This is going to get really ugly because there are people that will just simply refuse. And there's no way you want somebody shooting this stuff into your body or anybody that you know. The numbers for coronavirus, of course, I predicted this, that as recovery would proceed, the industry would start making claims that the numbers are increasing again. And of course, they're not talking about deaths now. They're simply talking about the number resulting from tests. And we already knew that because the test is a bogus test. If you would have given this test to the population 15, 20, 30 years ago, you would have gotten the same numbers, the same statistical numbers. So the number of things being thrown at the public right now is 5G, which is already affecting people. There are already people who are they have to sell their house or they have to get away. They're being bombarded by electromagnetic radiation. Wi-Fi, etc., is just is everywhere. Then you have the AI that goes along with 5G, which will be invading. I mean, this is an invasion of privacy unheard of throughout history. I mean, somebody before you had, like in Germany, pre-World War II, Germany, you had people turning in their neighbors who were overhearing them say something. Now it's coming to the point where they will have a chip right in the person's body where they can monitor everything you think and say and your feelings, etc. And then the coronavirus and who knows what other pandemics they have planned. This is probably just the staging ground just for experimentation. And then it'll be another vaccination, then another one. And then control, and then face masks, and social distancing. And, you know, the kids will grow up today in a world that's insane, absolutely insane. Then all of the issues of racism that are being thrown out today, in which the studies that have been done, systematic studies of society in general, all aspects of society, showed there really was no racism. Racism that's being brought up today is a fabrication, just like COVID-19. I deal with people all over the world. I've taught in international settings. I've had people from all race, color, creeds, everything in my classes. And everything I've ever seen, people act in a very normal manner. And so the part of the issue is the poverty that's in cities where people have no recourse, have no way out. And, that's the basis for a lot of the difficulties that are going on today. So, there's places where you just don't want to be. And it's been like that This is not something recent. It's been like that, like the old Hollywood movie Casablanca. You see, Humphrey Bogart is talking to the German general there in Casablanca, and this German general comes in, and the German general is bragging about attacking the United States. And Humphrey Bogart goes, "Well, I'll tell you, there's places in New York City where I would suggest you not try and go." Of course, he's referring to the lower income areas of New York City, where the German army even would not fare well. So this is not a new phenomenon. It's not like it happened since Trump was elected or since the Obamas were in office or anything else. I mean, this is, the Democrat policies going back to is well known where the social policies went in place that really drove the minority populations into submission to the government. But it does go back to, like I say, in the 1930s, Humphrey Bogart making, or actually, I'm sorry, into the 1940s, Humphrey Bogart is making the movie Casablanca, and he's talking about parts of New York City that were not good places to be. So there's nothing new under the sun here. But anyway, what's being thrown at the population today is something that the world has never seen before. Mass vaccinations, mandatory vaccinations, medical industry taking over government, dictating what government should do, government policies that are so extenuating that they actually completely dominate the social economic scene of the entire world. And this is just the beginning. Once these people get the hang of how to do this and how to manipulate, it's only going to get worse, the amount of control. And once they start getting needles in people and AI and chips and 5G control and automated intelligence, artificial intelligence control, this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. There are many layers of AI, and we are just with 4G. That was a certain layer of artificial intelligence where Google is amassing massive amounts of data on every person and through searches or through YouTube videos or through, Pinterest or Wikipedia or, online searches that people are doing, Facebook being one of the primary ones, all of these owned by the CIA and being controlled for the gathering of data on the populace. So anyway, this is just the beginning. This is the first layer of AI. Then 5G rolls in a next layer where the chip can be much smaller. The receiving sending device can be the size of a grain of rice or smaller, a tenth of the size of grain of rice, because you don't need much power because the power is in the receiving end, in the antenna, in the 5G antenna. And then you have face recognition, all kinds of biometrics of the body, etc. No, this is just going bananas. This is going bananas. And so a lot of people just want to get out, get away from the cities, and get out into the country. There are some states and regions where it is still sane to go to. People are flocking from California in droves. Last month there were 85,000 people who officially moved out of California. Nearly 100,000 people just left California because it's too bonkers. It's just absolutely insane. And these are primarily, you just make a one-to-one correlation with Democratic strongholds, and primarily due to voter cheating. They fix the ballots, and once they get in place in these locations, you can't get them out. They control the ballot box, they control the vote counting, they control the precinct designations and who's there. Once they get control, they're not going to let go. And this is a virus that's growing. This is the real virus, the Democratic Party. And there are more and more people moving away, realizing that the Democratic Party is no longer the blue-collar party for the working man and all of that. They are the party of the World Bank, basically, the party that wants control and complete destruction of the economy for their power, so that they can maintain power. That's what it is all about. So all I'm saying is that we're in for a real roller coaster ride here. It came on like gangbusters, and they're not going to let go. It's like I've said before, it's like a dog with a shirt in its mouth wrestling with a shirt, and you're trying to pull the shirt away from the dog. That dog ain't going to let go, and he knows it. He's got that shirt, and he's shaking his head back and forth, and he ain't going to let go, and that's what these people are. They're power hungry. They cannot get it through a proper process, so they cheat at the ballot box. This has been going on for decades and decades. Okay, so I'm not going to concentrate on that other than saying that you have to become involved in your local voting process. The only possibility left is at the voter ballot box. And this is going to go under. They're going to throw everything, including the kitchen sink, at you before the November ballot box, because they do not intend to lose this time. Losing in 2016 was a shock, but it was a wake-up call, and they've been mustering their troops. This is like a bad Hollywood movie, one of those 1950 movies where they had a monster that crashed the city and, you know, all the people running around like crazy. Yeah, that's what this is like, but it's for real. Okay, tonight in my main science topic, I'm going to talk about EMPs. I've talked about this before. I'm going to go in a little bit different aspect tonight. Here's a story, first a number of news items. Amazon stealing ideas. Well, who would have thought? I call it Scamazon, not Amazon. They have people on there selling my books. They don't have my books. They're claiming they're new. Nobody sells my books except myself. And what are they doing? Is Amazon printing them for these people? And typically, they would have been an older version or something like that. But Scamazon. And so now, there's 20 companies that are going after Amazon. And here's what Amazon was doing. They have an investment arm that goes out and searches new technology. So people think, oh, gee, Amazon, lots of money. They're going to get their business supported. And so what Amazon does is brings them in on a consultation, takes their business idea, steals it, produces the same idea, and then starts marketing it. And so there's the number of companies this has happened to is going up. And Jeff Bezos just recently announced that he's putting $2 billion into green energy and anything related to keeping carbon counts down. Sounds good on the surface, but what they do is they use that as a fishing bait. And then everybody runs up and says, oh, good, I'm going to get a piece of the $2 billion. And what it is just a fishing trip for them to look at new emerging technologies. Now, this is nothing new. The U.S. military has been doing this for decades and decades. What the military would do is every 2 or 3 years, they'd send out feelers in the investment communities for certain types of technology. And I got roped into this. This is where I found out about it myself, because I got roped into this. But anyway, they say, bring your technology to us and we'll evaluate it. And then everybody's looking for that big government contract, you know, because they want to be like the Lockheed Martins of the world. Well, let me tell you something. Those are closed systems, and those companies there are sitting there waiting to take the technology and steal it. And, of course, they're all what you call skunk works, black ops, hidden technology development centers that nobody can see into, so they can steal whatever they want, develop it, get the government contracts. And that happened to me. I've told this story. This is just one example. I was taking my electromagnetic propulsion system to venture capitalists in Los Angeles. Well, the first thing they did is they got a buddy over at NASA that's going to evaluate it. Then it gets passed to a private company that these scientists at NASA are associated with. And before you know it, some guy in that company is taking my idea, getting a government grant for it, and developing it. And in that case, they developed the space tether. Now, the space tether was something that already existed. They were going to let it out of the space shuttle to this kilometer, many kilometer long carbon fiber filament that basically is a conductor, provides a conducting path. And they were going to drag this through the Earth's magnetic field from the space shuttle out in outer space in low Earth orbit. They were going to drag this through the Earth's magnetic field with a weight out at the end, and which would keep the, because of gravity, differential gravity, it would keep this carbon fiber string straight. And then it would generate electricity according to their theory, and they could power things then on the space shuttle as a way of getting electricity instead of using solar panels, for example. That was the idea. Well, when my idea came across the table, they said, we'll just use this in reverse in a form of propulsion. And so I found out about this. I found out about it because I did some digging, some investigation, and I located a small company out in La Jolla, California. So I went into their office, and I told the secretary I wanted to see their one of their lead scientists, and I went in there. And sure enough, there was on his desk was my report that I gave to the venture capital group, and he quick put it down, and I talked to him for a while, and sure enough, they were developing my project in their laboratory. Stole it. Completely stole my project. So anyway, that's just an example. So Amazon involved in the same thing, stealing technology from companies, wooing them in, bringing them in to open up and give them all of their technology, and then turning around and developing it and stealing it. And of course, with their marketing power and their access to you, the public, they have a much better ability to market that. And that's what Microsoft did. Bill Gates is famous for stealing everybody else's technologies and then putting it out, even a cheap version that didn't even work. A lot of the Microsoft programming applications were stolen from other groups that had developed these. And then, of course, Microsoft had access to the marketing world. And so Microsoft would sell these applications. And then it was up to this poor company to come and try and sue them. And, of course, Microsoft, with its money and power and influence, could keep these people at bay for years and years and years without ever giving them a dime. Anyway, that's been going on for a long time, and Amazon now being called on the carpet for doing this. Amazon should simply be broken up. They have destroyed more businesses in the United States and around the world than any other company in the history of the world. Taking over retail, absolutely insane. Here's a story. It is stated that Russia is launching a military weapon. And this so-called weapon is an anti-satellite weapon. That's the accusation. Whether they did or didn't is another story. And I don't have an opinion on that. Maybe they did. But the question is a military weapon, is this offensive or defensive to destroy satellites? So say the Russians get wind of the United States going through some kind of a process to say to start a war in Iran or someplace, and Russia wants to take out our military capability. Well, the United States depends 100% on GPS. I've said this before. You can't take a pee in the military without GPS telling you exactly where to pee. That's how bad it is. You know, so the foot soldier, the troops, the vehicles are all controlled by GPS, and the airplanes, the ships, everything. They're all one big network of GPS. So if you take out these GPS satellites, the U.S. military has just lost its communications link. It's lost its ability to know where each other are, which takes you back to like World War II technology. You know, the other group, other members of your group or task force don't know where you are. And so the end result is that Russia allegedly has sent up this weapon. Well, anti-satellite weapons could be deemed as offensive. In other words, taking out the other person's military capability in space, or they could be deemed as defensive, that if you are attacked, you're going at the Achilles heel of your opponent. So it's a fine line. What are these? Are they offensive or they're defensive? And I think it's always funny, if we had such weapons, we would call them defensive. If Russia has them, they call them offensive. But this also shows the Achilles heel of the United States military. And I've said this before, you cannot base, this is like putting all your eggs in one basket, the military satellite GPS basket. Very bad idea, and literally the United States military coordinates could not coordinate without these GPS satellites. And everybody knows it. Okay. Just a little bit about storm activity. Now that the Jupiter winds have subsided for the year, it's about a 13-month cycle, things are calming down. And so we had a flurry of activity over the last couple weeks, and it could be very well attributed to the Jupiter-Saturn connection, something very rare that in the counting process of the cycles of the planets. Having Earth, Jupiter, and Saturn align is a fairly relatively obscure event, something that does not happen very often. Then you add in the new moon passing. So you had all of these things lining up. And at any rate, I'll be talking also about some noise they were hearing in Austria. And I had some conversations with another talk show host about this, who actually presented this information. I'll talk about that in a minute. But over the past number of weeks, we had excessive lightning storms, very intense lightning storms. We had a certain amount of straight-lined wind activity, but a lot of cyclonic-type storms, hurricanes and fairly powerful cyclonic storms, both the Pacific and the Atlantic Ocean. And now that has subsided. So there's a time correlation here with the Jupiter winds. That's very interesting, and that something is very predictable. I was talking about that last spring, about this time frame. And there's another event coming up in the fall. I'll probably revisit that topic here in a while. But this story was actually posted by Lyndon Moulton Howe of Earth Files, is her webpage, and this was brought to my attention by some listeners. This roaring noise, it's like a jet kind of rumbling noise up in the sky over certain mountainous area of Austria, and it happened like 1 p.m. And so anyway, some people asked me if I could explain this, and I said, well, I was not there, I could not make measurements, etc. But I'll offer a theory, because we did have the Jupiter-Saturn new moon passing connection here, and it was right exactly at the time when all of this noise was going on. There was one issue, is that only this couple reported this. But that's many times explainable by the fact that, say, people might have been in their house at noon, at eating, that was like lunchtime. And the roaring noise, maybe people had the television on in the house or radio or music, and they just would not have heard it. And I compared it to earthquakes. There are people that are in an earthquake, and I've been in earthquake zones for a long time. There are people who say, hey, did you feel the earthquake today? And other people go, no, I didn't feel it. I was outside walking around. And so anyway, If you're not in a chair, so to speak, or not like in a bed sleeping or something, you may not notice a mild earthquake up to, say, a 4.0 or even a 5.0. Sometimes people don't sense it because they're involved in physical activity, they're moving around. It's just the person that's actually sitting in a chair that actually feels it. So it's not universally noticed by everybody, is my point. in the same way with this roaring sound up in the mountains of Austria. But let's look at the, I just want to mention also that the ancients talk about trumpeting. The ancients called it trumpeting. That was the analogy that they used. But there again, that was associated, and if you actually do research on this, like I have, you'll find that the trumpeting coincides with, for example, the passage of a comet. Now, in this case, also the fact that these people, just everyday people up in the Austrian Alps, they heard it around midday, which is significant here because that's exactly when the electron beam is coming in from the north side. We have this cross-solar system electrical discharge because Jupiter, Saturn, and Earth are electrically aligned, and then the new moon passing, where the moon is at new moon stage, and a couple days later it goes through the new moon passing stage, and that's when the solar wind breaks free from the moon and comes pounding in and compresses our geomagnetic field, our plasma magnetic field that surrounds the planet, and therefore also sometimes these electrical currents can penetrate the magnetic field and come through and actually attach to the upper atmosphere, which would drive currents down through the atmosphere and cause this noise. Now, another thing is that you can hear auroras, the aurora borealis. I have personally heard these myself. And what happens is this is an electrical current coming down into the atmosphere to make those beautiful colors that you see in the aurora borealis. And this is over a very broad area. Typically, there are no mountainous regions up in the northern hemisphere, not like the Alps, etc. But these tend to concentrate over very broad areas. But what you hear is kind of a hissing noise. It's kind of a musical hissing noise because these are varying as the currents come in. And I actually felt an electrical current one time. I was working up in the woods on the Canadian border, and it was a bright, sunny summer day. And I looked up. It was clear blue sky, and I heard like rain. It was like rain. And then I realized it was an electrical current. And you could see the leaves moving, the deciduous trees that have leaves, you could see them moving as if rain were hitting them, but it was electric charge coming down through the atmosphere, and I could hear it. I could hear it. It sounded just like rain, but it was a perfectly blue sky. But the aurora borealis does create a hissing sound, so if it's a still night, especially like in the wintertime, if you're up in the northern hemisphere and you have a very bright aurora borealis and it's very still and very calm, you can hear it. So there is noise associated with the electrical currents coming into the atmosphere. The thing with trumpeting is that the electrical currents are more concentrated, and that's the issue. This would occur up in the mountains, and that's the situation. So it occurred at noon, midday, up in the mountains in Austria, and during the time when we had the electrical discharge, cross-solar system electrical discharge with the Jupiter winds and alignment with the excess additional discharge caused by Saturn and then the new moon passing. So all of these factors came together. The fact that it was up in the mountains, that part of the Earth was pointed directly at the sun at the time, that's where the electron beam is coming from, which typically is diverted by a magnetic field. But because of the new moon passing, that was able to break through the magnetic field and come down and attach to those mountains. So it sounded like this roaring sound. So anyway, I presented this as a potential resolution for this roaring sound in the mountains of Australia. And of course, to prove that, one would need to make measurements, etc. But it's the best explanation that I could find. And based on my weather work, which I've used to predict weather, storm systems, etc., months in advance. In fact, I did with this series of storms over the last number of weeks related to the Jupiter winds. Okay, here's this was bound to happen. In fact, I had people write to me and said, hey, you predicted this, and it's here now, where the government is going to tax the government is going to tax homeowners that have solar panels on their house as being a commercial center for the production of electricity. So here's the poor guy that goes out, he spends money to be green because the government promoted this, gave him a tax incentive, by the way, to put this on his house. And then the electric company is supposed to buy the electricity or at least offset this poor guy's bill. Then the government comes along and goes, well, we need more money. Of course, the government always needs more money. They can never get enough because they can always find more things in their social programs to spend it on. And so what do? They are going to tax people at their homes who have solar panels on their roof, completely negating the entire process, the entire philosophy of having distributed energy on the rooftops of people's houses, where actually they would be using that energy directly themselves. And then if there's excess energy, it gets put back out on the grid. And that little extra energy is supposed to offset times when, in fact, the sun is not shining. So, but what they're proposing is that these people pay a tax on the energy they're producing. So it's kind of like an air tax. They're going to tax you to breathe air because you're consuming air. We better tax it. If you're consuming sunlight, we better tax it. If you're consuming water from rain, they're going to tax it because these governments are strapped for money. They're completely incompetent. They don't know how to stop spending, and they're going to take money from you for putting solar panels on your roof. That is the latest. And so my market, by the way, for the wing generator is not, market is not for, say, suburban guy who wants to have a little excess energy coming and he wants to feel green about himself. Well, that's, you can put solar panels pretty much any place, and especially in suburbia, it does not take up extra space in terms of footprint. Unless people have a big yard, they don't have enough area to really put a wind generation system. And typically in that same scenario, zoning would prohibit height and putting things up that are not associated with, say, the house, etc. And so solar panels, they can just bolt them on the roof. It almost becomes part of the roof. And unless you have a big storm, they're not going to go anyplace. But what people are finding out is after their investment, then there's no payback. They're never going to receive a payback. Tesla came out with an interesting program, and I'll just explain this a little bit, where you don't pay anything. You just start paying them, and there's other groups like this, where you just start paying them a monthly, like a flat monthly fee, and then whatever energy is generated, you get over and above as a bonus applied to your electric bill, and supposedly the cost savings over the long term will, you know, save you money. It's like what you pay in that flat cost, fixed cost. It allows people who can't come out with the chunk of money to install solar panels initially, it allows them to get into the game. But here's what's going on. Remember, you get that really sweet government subsidy if you install solar panels. So what Tesla is doing is they come in and they snarf up that because they install them, they own them, and then they make the claim for the subsidy. So by installing solar panels, they probably make back their profit immediately from the installation, from the subsidy, because they're doing it at their cost, not your cost, not the retail cost. They're doing it at their wholesale cost. And, of course, with their own workers, it's a pretty low investment for them. And then all of a sudden they get this subsidy money from the government for installing solar panels and owning them, and then the rest is pure profit. So for them, it's a good business deal. It's a no-cost situation or very minimal cost situation where they start getting money back. And then the kicker is that if the person, the homeowner, wants to remove the solar panels, they have to pay $2,500. And so then they have these on their house. They find after a year or 2 years that it doesn't work. They're losing money. Well, then now they're faced with a $2,500 bill just to get rid of this junk off the roof. And who's going to do that? They're going to just keep paying the money. Maybe they're losing a little bit each month. But it's like a trap. Anyway, it's buyer beware out there. Buyer beware. In fact, I'm going to tell you something, too, that because these industries have so tainted the industry, solar and three-blade wind turbines, that there could be a case made for suing these companies for destroying an industry. Unfair trade practice, it's called, where they go out and they infect an industry with bad products, taint it, so that people are against it, which has happened, and that's going on. It's really big in Canada. It's big growing in the United States, where people are opposing having these things put in, which don't generate electricity. They generate a lot of electrical noise and are very bad for the environment, and the tremendous amount of they're just an eyesore. Okay, but anyway, they've tainted this industry. Siemens, General Electric, and Vesta have tainted this industry, so you could make a case that you could sue these companies for tainting the industry to prevent good products from being sold into those industries. One last note before I start talking. Oh, two last notes here. The issue I want to reiterate, where kids, because of this coronavirus deal over since starting in March, parents stopped taking their kids to the hospital, especially little babies that were born, etc., and to get them vaccinated with the standard 69 shots that they give little kids. So now there's a statistical database to study to show that especially it was the DPT shot, the diphtheria, tetanus, I forget what the three, I forget offhand. That's what happens when you do live radio. but the DPT shot, which includes, I think, diphtheria and tetanus, that's the one that's killing the babies, the SIDS, the sudden infant death syndrome. And so anyway, now there's a pool of babies who have not been vaccinated where we can look at the data and actually see that the SIDS rate has dropped down to zero, showing that vaccinations were, in fact, what were causing the SIDS problem. And parents who've gotten their kids with shots notice this a problem as soon as the kids get the shot. In fact, 60% of the SIDS deaths occur within 2 weeks of the kids getting that shot. So at any rate, what I'm saying is now there's a database. There's a group of little babies who have not been vaccinated and form a pool, a statistical pool, which now can be monitored for SIDS and other related childhood maladies that come from the vaccination damage. And you have a whole country of kids walking around with vaccine damage. And so it's like the parents don't know what normal is. They don't know what it's like to have a normal kid that isn't bouncing off the walls. And I've seen kids, they can't stop moving. They're running back and forth and they're screaming, and they're talking, and they're completely out of control 24 hours a day. They have no attention span. You can't say anything to them because they don't have any attention span at all. Autism is the term for that. And so these kids, their nervous systems are just shot because of the mercury poisoning, aluminum poisoning, and the other crap that's in these shots, and giving three at one time. Make no mistake, there's never been any safety testing done to show the efficacy that these things even work. And then also that they are safe to give three shots to a little kid at the same time. And now they have like 69 shots, and the list is growing of shots that they give little kids. Absolutely insanity. And to think that these kids' bodies can absorb all of these impurities and mercury and aluminum and DNA cultures, and you know, it's like, God, it's just unbelievable that you would take a human body and inject all of this into them, and somehow I say this is for health. Absolutely insane. But like I say, we now have a pool of kids who did not get vaccinated from which to do statistical studies. Here's one last story. This sent in by a listener that Antarctica, this was published in Science, which of course is a standard mouthpiece of standard science. They're saying that Antarctica 90 million years ago was a tropical, basically tropical forest. And then, of course, they claim to discover this. And then they claim that it's due to CO2. I mean, were the dinosaurs driving cars back then? This is the insanity that comes from this. It's the same as the liberal left mind. It's just, you know, it's a very sick place. It's a place without reason, without logic, without rhyme or reason. And but here's what it takes to get published today in Science Magazine. You come up with something, you take a story which is actually true. Antarctica, though, in fact, it wasn't. We're not talking 90 million years ago. We're talking probably within the last 9,000 years, when Antarctica, before the pole shift, was in a semi-tropical region, and probably there were many other pole shifts prior to that, which changed the position of what we call Antarctica. There's actually a land mass, whereas the Arctic, which is the North Pole, there's no land under it. It's just a floating iceberg, basically. But the South Pole, there's literally a continent under there with mountain ranges and valleys and open water. There's literally open water at the South Pole because the land is warm. It's warm because it within the last number of thousands of years, it flipped and is now at the South Pole where it resides today. Okay, so anyway, yeah, if you want to get published in Science, take a story and twist it and put it out of time and mind, which would be the 90 million years ago, and then claim it was due to CO2, carbon dioxide, global warming, and you got yourself a publication, buddy. Yep, that's the way to advance in the world of science today. Toe the party line. Okay, just a quick mention here about the wing generator. If you live on a farm or ranch or know somebody that does and they want to get off the grid, or if they want supplemental power, or they have a remote area where they need power or something like that, or you know people on an island or in a remote location, the wing generator, go to my webpage. There's an email address there to send in, and just put wing in the subject line. Also, the tower gardens. This is the middle of the summer, and typically ordering is slow because people are off on vacation and, you know, the kids are out of school, of course, this year, so the parents are probably busy taking them on vacation and going places, fun places. But the grow towers are there on my webpage, and the reason I mentioned the vacation stuff is that just ordering is slow, and I imagine people don't have money. But the products I sell are things that are very necessary for your health. Yeah, so the grow towers, where you can grow your own green vegetables right at your own home. They're fresh. You can clip the spinach and the romaine lettuce and the cauliflower and the tomatoes. Pick the tomatoes daily, etc. Or grow herbs. You can clip your own herbs. You know, there's the grow towers have a special section you can buy that has smaller ports, and you can grow herbs in there. And so you can have your whole variety of herbs that you like growing fresh right there. And that's where you get the best benefit from the food. What you buy in the store is typically is dead. It's been picked. It's been so long since it was picked that it was kept fresh. It looks fresh, but it's really lost a lot of the enzymes that are necessary for good health. So the grow towers are something that I really believe in. They're on my webpage, and also the water filters, the shipping containers and shipping container buildings, all of that on my webpage, jmccsci.com. Okay, on to the main science topic, EMPs. Now, I've discussed EMPs before on this show, on shows where I've been guest, and just basically what an EMP is, electromagnetic pulse. It's where some natural or man-made event causes a voltage surge. It's basically what it is. It's a voltage surge that creates an electromagnetic pulse, and that's the EMP that travels through the air and also through the ground. And this is one of the issues, because when we build an electrical circuit, other than, a flashlight, a little handheld flashlight, or your telephone, which is an independent device, but when you build your house, you have a ground wire that goes into the ground, and that gives you a stable voltage reference. Now, that would be the equivalent of, let's say, that you're at your house, you have your electricity, your neighbors have their electricity, and to complete the circuit, you have to have a wire that goes all the way back to the central power company. So instead of having that, you use ground, and it acts like a conductor. So that, and it's stable, and so it acts like literally like a conductor that connects all of the houses together at the base voltage, and then connects you to the central power company, where the electricity is generated and sent out along the wires. So the electric circuit, when you see those wires coming into the off the high wires, the high voltage wires. Then there's a transformer station somewhere near you in town, and then the wires go up, and then they go out on a delivery system, which is a lower voltage delivery system, and then they get to your neighborhood, they go through another transformer, they bump it down to the 240 volts, the typical that comes into your house, called a split 240. That's what connects into the power box at your house. And then that's distributed through wires in your house. But at your house, along with that electrical box, there's a big cable that goes down into a copper rod that's driven down into the ground right at your house. Okay, so back to the subject of EMPs. So what happens when an electrical impulse occurs? It occurs in space somewhere, and as the voltage ripple, as this wave, voltage wave emanates outwards from the source of the whatever it is that caused this, it could be a solar flare that affects our ionosphere, etc. It does two things. It affects the wiring, those wires that go out and go through the transformers, etc., and go out to your house. It affects those, but it also affects the ground. So instead of having this nice, even voltage as a reference, that changes. And so now you have a system that's all haywire. You don't have the nice ground reference anymore, and you have currents that flow to neutralize that difference in electrical voltage or electrical potential. And so anyway, this is the situation. So the wires are interacting differently. The ground is interacting differently, and it's a wave that's moving along at literally the speed of light. Now, let me just explain something here. It's rather subtle, and it doesn't affect what I'm talking about a great deal. But just so you understand, the speed of light in vacuum, when we measure and you say the speed of light in vacuum, it has that value, little c equals a fairly large number of meters per second. That is the speed of light in vacuum. But the speed of light in a material, say glass or metal, like metal wire or the earth, is different. It's a little bit less. The speed of light goes a little bit slower in these. That doesn't affect what we're talking about very much, but it's just kind of a fine point. And so anyway, back to the idea of the impulse, the electromagnetic impulse or electromagnetic pulse, it's this voltage wave that's coming through the lines. And then typically what happens is if you have a voltage difference, there's a current that flows to try and neutralize that. And so now all of a sudden the current that's nicely flowing through the wire is going out to your house to run your toaster and your furnace and your blender and your television. Okay, all of a sudden that voltage changes. When it goes through the transformer, it changes also. And so you have the situation where your baseline, which is ground, literally the ground under your house going to the neighbor's house and everything, that all changes. So the voltage no longer is has a baseline. It doesn't have that stable connection going back to the connecting all of this together. Now, if you were, say, let's take a different example. Let's say you were out in outer space. You didn't have ground. How would you build an electrical system like in the International Space Station? There's no ground. So what you do in a circuit like that, it's kind of like a exaggerated case of a flashlight, where you would have a flashlight with, there's two batteries in there. It has the wire that goes around, which connects to a switch that connects to the little light and back to the batteries. Okay, so when you turn on the switch, there's a little circuit there. Let's just take a look at that with an EMP. So an electromagnetic pulse comes along and raises the voltage in some part of that circuit. Well, that's going to throw off the normal balance of the circuit. And so how would you shield against this in a flashlight? Okay, well, you could take what is known as a Faraday shield. It's basically a wire mesh. You would put it around the flashlight with the battery and the wire and the switch and the light, everything. You would, around all of that, you would put a Faraday shield. And that would basically absorb the energy in this free-moving electromagnetic pulse that's trying to get into, it's trying to pass through. And now there's a rule or a law in electronics that if you have a conductor, doesn't matter what size or shape the conductor, it could be just a spherical conductor with a shell, or it could be an odd shape, or it could be a solid electrical conductor. But no matter what happens on the outside in terms of electromagnetic pulses, etc., because of the redistribution of electrons, which are mobile, inside the conductor, the voltage inside the conductor is always zero. And so this is a way of shielding. But when you have an electromagnetic pulse that hits one side of this conductor first, especially if it's big, like, you know, like your state where you have the power company 100 miles away. And so the question is, how do you shield against an electromagnetic pulse? And so what happens is if the electromagnetic pulse is not very big, the most it's going to do is damage the equipment in your house. If you have a light, it's not going to affect the light a lot. It's going to be more sensitive to things like televisions and computers and electric drills. Those are the kind of things that get burnt out, or your control circuitry, or your potentially the electronics in your furnace, things like that. And so how do you control this? Is there a way to put an electromagnetic shield around your house? And the answer is really no. Because once they start getting big enough, the electromagnetic shield, the charge in your electromagnetic shield does not redistribute fast enough, and the redistribution of charge itself in the shield becomes a secondary problem. And so how do you shield against electromagnetic pulses? And the answer is you have to break the circuit into pieces. Literally, break it into pieces. And so, this was Tesla's original design, and it works very well. There's a series of shunts and diodes and inductors. And now, what's an inductor? An inductor is a very interesting electronic device. But before I go into this, and now this is a simplified version. In other words, don't try this at home. You have to know what you're doing when you go about designing a system of shunts and devices to protect against EMPs, and this is something I happen to know quite a bit about. I've been asked on a national scale to do discussions of this, and that's why I'm bringing this up here. But an inductor is a very interesting device. Now, all of this has to be done in real time. In other words, the old Obama smart grid was a joke. It was a bunch of companies trying to sell equipment, pretending they were going to solve the smart the EMP problem, but literally could not. Here's the issue. When the EMP comes, it's unexpected. It's something that you cannot anticipate. So if you have electronic circuitry that's detecting this and then making some kind of logical calculation or conclusion and then trying to send a message to the next station that, hey, by the way, there's this big EMP pulse coming because the EMP pulse is moving at the speed of light, you cannot beat it. You cannot make a determination that, hey, something happened here, and then send a message to the next station because the EMP pulse is already moving at the speed of light, and you cannot send a signal at faster than the speed of light. So therefore, intelligent circuitry does not work. So what you have to do is use what are known as passive devices. They work automatically, and an inductor is one example. A diode is another example. A diode blocks current from going in a certain direction, and it allows current to go in the other direction. An inductor is a very interesting device. It's just a coil of wire. And what happens is at a certain frequency, or at normal, like say for ground, it is a conductor. It's a perfect conductor. It's like a piece of wire. But if there's a change in the frequency, which would be the case with an EMP, then that becomes a resistor, and it would block, and that's what a shunt is. Basically, it's a device, an electronic device, that reacts to an electromagnetic pulse and diverts the current into another path. And so if you did that, now all of a sudden you could break the circuit into little pieces from the central power company out to your house, and that would mitigate the effects of the EMP. And how exactly you do this on an implementation scale, on a large-scale grid, that's another issue. How would you implement this? But it was actually designed by Tesla and to work for that exact reason. And there have been cases, which I've witnessed, of EMPs that took out entire western part of the United States. One time, we were watching from a data center, watched it happen in real time. 14 states went down, and the grid reacted appropriately. But anyway, hope that gives you a little bit better idea of EMPs, what you can do to mitigate them, and what you should not be doing to mitigate them. This is James McCanny. This is my Science Hour, and as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.